Hello, this is Dr. Wendy Hill. Welcome to learning about what love asks of you. Love is the essence of who you are. One doesn't need religion or to be religious to see the profound goodness of what love teaches. Deep within each of us dwells a part of us that is real and everlasting. Its nature is of great love and wisdom. This love is unconditional, joyful, and kind. And the wisdom that accompanies this love is based on the greatest and the most basic truths that exist. This love and wisdom puts an end to all war and conflict. It automatically heals all wounds and inequities. It puts right all that's been wrong. It brings absolute peace where there was once chaos and confusion. It forgives the greatest of crimes. It brings total release to unbounded joy. All of this is within you. This is what is known as love. You have within you this love. You have within you the miracle of creation, the greatest of the great. Why then, you wonder, do you not feel this love within you all the time? It's because this great gift within you is kept secret from you until you are ready to have it revealed. Until then, it's shrouded by fear, thoughts, and emotions that cause you to believe in delusions. Your thoughts and feelings of fear, shame, anger, and hurt hide the truth that's within you from you. And so you say, love is something outside of myself, awarded only to saints and great masters of the past. It's only a myth to which I can perhaps aspire, but never hope to reach. It's a nice concept, but it's not my reality. But nothing can be further from the truth. It is your reality. It has simply been hidden behind your own fear. As you voluntarily and consciously work through your fear and delusive thoughts and emotions, your greater nature gradually is revealed to you. You become aware of your own great love. When, for the first time, you become aware of this within yourself, when you have your first hint of this greatness within, it is a profound experience indeed. It is a renaissance, an awakening, a birth. This is why your first true awareness can be so incredible. Perhaps you, for the first time, allow your own great love to emerge that fully. Some call this a peak experience, or a truly spiritual connection. The newer it is for you, the more amazing it may seem to you. Though the amazement may always be present, as you evolve, you become more accepting of your true nature, and therefore more centered in it, and less dramatic. The birth of this love is symbolized by your own personal renaissance experience. It is the birth of love within you. It is your first realization that you are not simply a lump of flesh inextricably caught in unending struggle, but a divine being of greatness beyond description, beyond your body, mind, and emotions. What joy at such a realization! It is beyond description. It is a joy beyond all we imagine to be joy. You have just been freed in that moment of realization. This is intensely personal and can be realized only in the quiet of your own mind and soul. You are the essence of true love. Did you not have to travel far for this birth? And are you not amazed? Let's explore more what love asks of you, the joy and the sacrifice. There is a natural law that seems to say to us that all good things come at a price. Love asks the greatest price of all. Love requires that we give up all judgment, fear, resentment, and expectation of love returned. Love asks that we forgive all harm done. Love commands of us that we simply give our hearts freely and unconditionally. This means that love will also wound us to the core. Not only must the ego die to love, but once we are opened, we must suffer the consequences of disappointment and betrayal. Love, therefore, is both sought after and rejected by us all. Because the sacrifice of love is so great, we have invented another definition of love that will allow us to believe we are loved and loving without having to suffer. This definition is illusion and causes suffering in itself. However, the definition is such that we don't have to feel the suffering is self-inflicted. We can see ourselves as victims, not responsible for our suffering. The definition goes like this. Love is something I can feel when I feel safe and loved by another. If my safety and lovability are threatened in some way, I withdraw my love. This withdrawal is justified and is also a part of love. If you consider this carefully, you can see that this is a self-defeating thought. Human love is conditional. Until we found safety and love within ourselves, through connecting with our great loving wise self, we are incapable of living the true meaning of love. If you open yourself to love, expect to suffer. Expect your suffering to teach you much. Expect your suffering to lead you to the grandest experience of all, freedom. Expect you have the feeling of being home in the most profound sense of all. The experience of love is complete peace and excruciating, almost unbearable joy at the same time. The experience of love is what we are all destined to strive toward. Whether we know it or not, it is our reason for living. Everything we do, think, and feel is a subconscious seeking of love, even our violent acts, thoughts, and feelings. The experience of love automatically propels us into another dimension, another reality. It makes us realize that those things we strive for on a daily basis do not satisfy, and they are only weak substitutes for what we really want. For most of us, this realization is too much. Love requires too large a sacrifice. In this case, a redefinition of the nature of reality. So we deny what we see and re-enter into our delusion, believing that the world and the things we do in it is our home. We humans are in a terrible dilemma that will cause us suffering until we're willing to admit to what we know by the teachings of love. One cause of human suffering is the attachment we have to each other as the main providers of love. Loving each other is a natural result of the experience of love. However, we don't give each other the experience of love. The true experience of love comes from complete and total attachment to loving the self within the self. This loving within the self has no object to which we can normally relate, like another person. It is the willingness to feel love, for no reason or motivation other than to experience love. It is a willingness to open the heart, let go, and feel love. The provider of this feeling is the great loving wise one within you, named only because we need to name things. Here is an experience you might want to try. Go into a meditative state. Open yourself and start loving for no rational reason. Ignore all your reasons to be in any other state. Just love. Keep loving for as long as you want. Then return to your normal state of consciousness and go about your day. observe the results. Now let's explore how this problem of love can be manifested and how it can be resolved. Giving and receiving the breath of life. Now, you and I have a problem. We live in a society that teaches little about love, but encourages mediocrity, instant gratification, and self-indulgence in an attempt to get it. The problem is emotional and spiritual immaturity, a basic lack of understanding of how to love, and a lack of desire to take responsibility for one's happiness. It is therefore commonplace to find unhappiness. It is therefore commonplace to find unhappiness, and this unhappiness is supported by behaviors and attitudes that are deemed virtuous, even popular. For example, it's popular to be selfish, to think only of what you can gain from any given situation while rationalizing behavior and attitudes as being virtuous. People in our society are threatened by the fear of being alone and unprotected. People are afraid of not having enough, of not having enough money and support from people who care. We fear being desperate and unable to get by, left alone to die like people on the street. This fear and inner vision causes us to react. Instead of motivating us to help those who need, this vision causes us to withdraw inside ourselves in fear. We become selfish and totally self-serving. And if we didn't have the vision of fear to begin with, we catch it by the selfishness all around us. This disease reveals itself in little ways. We think that paying for services is enough, a fair exchange. We strive to stockpile not only our things, but our well-being. We hoard love, not wanting to share it for fear that it will be snatched from our very hearts. The result? A huge group of people in a land where most feel alone in their own families, in their own churches, in their own jobs, in the supermarket, everywhere. A land where women lunch and men play ball, a land where real feelings are avoided like the plague. For real feelings might lead to intimacy. Intimacy might lead to love. Love can be lost. The risk is seen as too great. The solution? Play act through your life. Collect as much to protect you for the future as you can. And make sure that you network as many non-offensive, non-intimate relationships as you can to call upon in times of need. No one really gives. No one really receives. Alienation reigns. Begin to recognize this as your own personal problem. See it as fear of breathing, a holding of your breath, much like one would do in an emergency. Realize that your state of emergency has continued indefinitely. Imagine being so tense and fearful of not being loved that you actually restrict your breathing. This happens in actuality. Not only are you restricting your breath, you are restricting the flow of giving and receiving. The breath of healthy, loving human relationships. Giving and receiving is like breathing. The gifts must come from you, and the gifts must flow from you. It is a natural process, a process instinctive to us all. It must indeed be a great state of emergency to stop this natural process. Imagine what prolonged shallow breathing can do to you. Every cell in your body is robbed of life-giving oxygen. You are literally only partially alive. Now imagine what limited giving and receiving from the heart can do to you. Your entire psyche and spirit is robbed of the life-giving expression of love. Giving and receiving is not a logical function. If you try to put it on the level of practicality, you instantly lose its life-giving effects. You are in danger of doing this as a child in this society. You have an inbred tendency to want to leverage giving and receiving so that you again come out safe and on top. Be alerted to this danger, and it is a danger. Negotiated living and receiving in this way automatically robs you of life. Your giving and receiving must be from one heart to another, not from one mind, body, or place to another. Your giving and receiving must be balanced. As you breathe in and out, so you must give and receive. Now I want you to use your imagination. Imagine two or more people working together, constantly giving and receiving on all levels. See them as breathing in harmony. One minute one gives to another while being open to receiving back. The next minute, another gives back while remaining open to receiving back again. See this interaction as happening on an emotional, spiritual, physical level. Sometimes it manifests in an exchange of ideas. Sometimes it manifests in an exchange of things. Sometimes it manifests in an exchange of courtesies. Sometimes it manifests as physical interchange. Always it manifests with an exchange of love and loving intent. Imagine the atmosphere of that place filled with friendly cooperation. Feel a sort of sparkle in the air of mutual desire for the other's happiness and well-being. Feel the air breathing with the ebb and flow of loving giving and receiving. No one person is just the giver. No one person is just the receiver. There are no given roles of givers and receivers. All give, all receive, all breathe with ease. Their bodies thrive with oxygen. Their spirits radiate with healthy love. Now envision yourself in such an environment. See how good and alive you feel. It has already been acknowledged that we live in a society that honors selfishness. There are not many places where this breathing of giving and receiving lives. You are forced to be the initiator of a new way of being in your environment if you are to be happy and healthy. Begin by giving from your heart. If you can't find your heart, begin by doing whatever is necessary to open your heart. Once you have, initiate the giving. Remember, it's not healthy to be the only one giving. You must also receive. Here is where even more of your courage is required. You must find a way to express your needs to receive from other hearts. You may have to make waves, express real feelings of frustration and need. You may have to shake up the local atmosphere to get results. You must be real. Call upon the great loving wise one within you and your warrior spirit. This process will be real growth for you. Remember, you are suffering to some degree from this selfishness disease, probably more than you know. You will be fighting a tendency to withdraw back into yourself, giving up in disgust or frustration. But persevere. Your happiness depends on your willingness to create loving environments for yourself. Your happiness depends on your willingness to make waves to better your world. Relearning this natural process of giving and receiving is one of the major challenges of your times. You are capable of the challenge, and you are capable of learning what love asks of you.